Hey friends, welcome to the Entrepreneur Observer. It's Memorial Day weekend and we're coming to you right here on Blog Talk Radio. Our phone number is 727-916-7048. If you have any questions or comments, you can certainly call us. And the email address for the show is rhaderman@gmail.com. That's rhaderman@gmail.com. Now, if you're new to the show, we're here to talk about the American entrepreneur, the man or woman who is out there fighting every day to make it in this dire economy, and the person that's not necessarily thinking outside the box, but the person who is always thinking about new ideas and new technologies and kind of considers themselves innovative and creative and always trying to grow and develop. Because that's who we are, the American entrepreneur. Now this week, I want to talk more about social media and the technologies that people are using to strategically position themselves and their marketing efforts in front of potential clients and customers. We also like to talk about small businesses and the proven principles and fundamentals that most successful small businesses are practicing today. And I have a book here. I know I've talked about it. I may read a little bit if we have some time. It's called Excuses Be Gone. I want to read a passage out of here. It's by Dr. Wayne W. Dyer. Definitely would recommend this book, Excuses Be Gone, How to Change Lifelong Self-Defeating Thinking Habits. And I want to tell you a story here shortly where I may just read a passage out of this book just to kind of give you an understanding of the message that I'm trying to get across. Now we talk a lot here on the show, you've heard me mention about this is the age of the consumer, this is the age of the customer. And I'm telling you, I want to talk a little bit more about that again because I'm really strongly feeling with some of the trends that I've experienced myself here online. I have heard and kind of identified and developed a new term that I think is going to become a little bit more common, and you're going to hear it on other talk shows and other business platforms. The term is UGC. UGC. What that stands for is user-generated content. Now, if you listen to the Entrepreneur Observer, you obviously know that I'm really excited and really high on the internet, on social media, and all the new innovative technologies that we now have available at our fingertips. What we are seeing is more and more customers, because it's the age of the customers, more and more customers are getting that, and more customers are getting involved, and more customers have a voice, and they want to be heard. So you're seeing through search engines and through blogs, well, you're finding the blogs through search engines, through this platform right here, Blog Talk Radio, as a matter of fact, more and more customers, end users, consumers, whatever you want to call them, they want to be heard. So this is something, if you're a small business, this is something you really want to pay attention to, folks, because I look at this, I have come up with a 1 to 10 ratio. And what that means is if you do a good job, if you have a customer that has a good experience with your product or service or your company, there's a real good chance that that consumer is going to tell one of their friends about you. However, if you do something bad, if you piss a customer off, if you do something unethical, if you aren't above board. Because of UGC, user-generated content, it's very, very simple and very, very easy. The technology is there for an end user to tell 10 people online about what a poor performance you did or what a poor job you did. So that's where you have to be very careful. We are living in an era now that is nothing like we've ever seen before. So if you are a small business, you have to be very careful that you are not only understanding the rules, but playing by the rules. Because for every one customer that you impress, there's going to be that person that you disappoint that is going to tell 10 folks about that. And it's what we call viral. It's a message that gets out there virally through the Facebooks and the Twitters and the other, you know, the LinkedIns, the other social media platforms. So you're going to hear me, the Entrepreneur Observer, talking about that more and more. UGC, user-generated content. UGC is going to change a lot of things. So if you put word of mouth on steroids, that's what we call UGC. Comparing word of mouth to UGC is like comparing a lightning bug to lightning. One of the things that's important to understand about the age of the customer is that the idea that you've worked all your career thinking about what you've got to do to be competitive. You got to have the right products. You got to have the right assortment of products. You got to have the right pricing. You got to be competitive with your marketing. You got to be competitive with your advertising campaigns. You got to be competitive when you hire the right people. You got to train them and make sure that when they go out against your competitors, that they're trained properly. In many cases in business, you still have to have the right location. You got to make sure you have a website. Competition is the clarifying factor in a free market economy. But what this age of the customer thing is doing, what's happening, is that the age of the customer is really affecting competition. So where I'm going with all this is where you have to be very careful is because it's the age of the customer, it's very easy now to become irrelevant. You could still be competitive, but if you're not careful, you could become irrelevant. I work for a technology company and I talk to people all the time, and a client that I was talking to, he's a merchant. We were talking to him about doing some promotional placements to get him a little bit more brand recognition, and he told me an interesting story the other day that kind of stuck with me. He told me that he got a text message from another company about a certain product. And he recognized the company. He was very familiar with him. He knew that he had, let's say, he had done some kind of business transaction with them before. So he already knew that they already had his name and address and email address and phone number and text number and billing and accounting information and the whole nine yards. And the text basically said something along the lines of, would you like to purchase this? We have a special offer. Here's the deal. And all he had to do was pretty much just text back yes or no. Remember, they already had his billing and accounting information. So all they needed was his authorization. Now what he told me that caught my attention here, and I think about this every day because of the business that I'm in with online purchasing and retail and sales and discounts, is that he told me that that same day he stopped in an actual brick and mortar store where he could have purchased that exact same product in person on his way home from work. And this is a store where it sounded like he frequents pretty much on a regular basis. So while he was in there, he went ahead and mentioned that he got this text on this offer and asked those guys about this deal and about what they thought about it and if they knew anything about it and basically what their story was going to be. So he said that when he was in the store face to face, he said the way they responded to him was something along the lines of, "Oh yeah, that offer, yeah, I saw something about that. Yeah, I think that's something that they do this time once a year. So I guess it must be that time of year again." So keep in mind, my buddy had asked about this, but you would think the guy in the store could have maybe, you know, felt him out a little bit. But the point is that it was a national offer that both companies had access to. The exact same product and the exact same price and the exact same terms. But because the first guy texted him, found out he could get to my friend, and my friend gave him verbal authorization or texted him authorization, because he did that, he got there first. And guess what? He got his business. So the other guy in the store had the same product, was just as competitive, and he could have maybe been a little bit more involved and interactive and brought it up, but he didn't do that, and he didn't reach his customer the way that his customer preferred to be reached. That's what we mean, folks, when we're talking about it's the age of the customer. So keep an open mind and understand that there's all kinds of new technologies out there, and we can't rest on our laurels. We can't depend on loyalty and just assume that, oh, if this guy was a loyal customer, he would have bought from me. You have to understand that there's a lot of changes. There's a lot of new marketing techniques going on out there, and the competitor is definitely, on, let's just say, on top of their game a little bit more than they may have been the last 2 or 3 years. It's why we have to constantly be moving, because if you're not moving, if you're just staying still, you're going to lose because your customer is moving and you will fall behind. All right, let's shift gears here a little bit and let's talk a little bit more. You know, I love to discuss social media strategies. The reason that I like to discuss social media so much is because I'm seeing more and more people that I talk to and that I deal with every day starting now to really get it a little bit and starting to, let's just say, get in the game where they don't really understand it totally, and maybe they don't really understand or recognize or identify the true power behind it. But the thing about social media, and let's just talk about the, I don't want to say the big three, but the main three players. Really, there's four players if you really think about it. If you want to have, if you're a small business and you want to think about a real strategy, a real good strategy for a social media type of marketing campaign, you want to think about starting with these four guys. That's Facebook. And if you're a small business, don't set up a Facebook account like you have with your personal life, your friends. You keep that separate. This is a Facebook fan page. You want to have a Twitter account. Believe me, folks, this is very important, because what Twitter can do for you is, what Twitter, the thing that's powerful about Twitter is local search, getting your name and your brand and your offer is recognized to your local market, because that's where you want to start. You want to be the master. You want to be known in your hometown. You want to be local first before you could expand into your region and then nationally. So think about Twitter, very important. The third one I would use, let's just say LinkedIn. LinkedIn maybe not so much for promotional type of offers, but LinkedIn is something where you always want to be networking. So LinkedIn is a special kind of tool that if you're a small business owner, if you're an entrepreneur, you have to be on LinkedIn. It's almost like it's your digital footprint. It's your digital business card. I am guilty where I haven't been involved over the last 90 days as much as I would like to with my LinkedIn account, as far as keeping it updated and fresh and putting new content on there. But LinkedIn's very important. The fourth marketing arm, I would call it, would be YouTube. And YouTube is probably, really maybe if you wanted to put them in order, it might be the most important, because YouTube, you can put video. And you don't even have to actually use the company YouTube. There's other companies. There's one called Vimeo. There's probably about four or five file sharing sites out there. But having a video file sharing site is very important, because if you're using these other technologies properly, they could kind of feed off each other, where you could use YouTube. Tracking your sales and counting your money. So that's the first element, is planning and prospecting. And just to define prospecting, what I mean by that, it's cold calls, it's networking events, it's trade shows, it's developing referrals and introductions. And since we're talking about social media, if you're creative and you understand social media, you could actually prospect with Twitter and Facebook, having a Facebook fan page, and YouTube. Now, why it's on my mind, I just want to mention one other thing here. I hear a lot of people talk about marketing, and they talk about what they think marketing is all about. Marketing, the end result to marketing should be to generate leads. And that's it. Sales, the objective to being successful in sales is to take those generated leads from marketing and close them. So I just want to make sure that when we're talking about basics and fundamentals, that people really understand what marketing really means. And the reason that I want to define this is because it's not in every single company that you'll have a dedicated person that's the marketing director, and then another dedicated person that's the sales representative, and he's also, or she's also, referred to as the account executive or the business development manager. A lot of organizations, and I know myself, I've worn both hats, where I was responsible for every single new business transaction from start to finish. So that's why you've heard me talk about here many times on the Entrepreneur Observer, that if you're good at sales, then the idea and the key is to get as many qualified leads in front of you to talk to. And that's why it pays to learn as much as you can about marketing, because if you're creative and innovative and can find a way to get those qualified leads in front of you, that's the person that's going to have a lot of success, a person that's a great marketer and a great sales closer. We talk about guerrilla marketing, and I was just talking to a friend of mine just recently the other day who has a small business, and I mentioned that to her. She was telling me, I was recommending, trying to give her a little bit of advice, recommending some tools that she can use to help promote and build up her brand, and I just happened to mention guerrilla marketing. I said, you need to do some guerrilla marketing. And she goes, I've heard of that. I want to know more about that. And what that is guerrilla marketing is when I think everybody needs to start off with guerrilla marketing. It's instead of using the old traditional means of marketing, such as expensive forms of marketing, such as billboards and TV commercials or radio commercials or sending out mailers. Guerrilla marketing is when you think about creativity, when you think about printing up maybe 5 or 10 t-shirts, which cost money, but just do 5 or 10 t-shirts. and make sure you have people that you know that are going to look good representing your brand, that are going to wear them around town, because that's free advertising. So that's one form of guerrilla marketing. Everything we just discussed, Twitter, all these social media techniques, YouTube, by really getting to understand these tools, that's guerrilla marketing 101. So there's a lot of different ways you can use guerrilla marketing. The internet. When I was at Apex Lending, I was huge. Myself and our marketing director, a guy named Phil Gilliam, who was a great guy, him and I really used to sit down and really have some great conversations. I actually read the book 5 years ago that I held on to, and I brought him in the copy of Guerrilla Marketing, of the Guerrilla Marketing book, and he loved it. And that's the kind of stuff that we were doing. We were doing GoToMeeting type of webinars, which was guerrilla marketing. Just stuff where you can use technology. We were doing forums, where we were posting links in forums. For at that time, we were looking for mortgage brokers. So guerrilla marketing is when you can generate leads and generate business and generate attention to your brand on a very, very low budget, by just using sweat equity, by being creative. If all that you can get out of guerrilla marketing is brand recognition, you've done a great job. Now you have successful salespeople and successful sound or solid sales managers. In my opinion, a sales manager should really never ever be somebody that's just brought in from the outside. In my opinion, a sales manager, the guy that should be the sales manager, should be the guy that proved himself or herself as one of the early on, fresh from the beginning, top sales people that weren't just a top salesperson, but people that really understood what the company does, what the niche was, what the company's all about, and what the ultimate objective is. You take that person, you make sure that they're practicing all the proper principles and fundamentals and doing it, performing day after day and getting results. You make sure that it's a person that is a leader, a person that can lead by example, a person that doesn't just stick to what works in the same old daily routine, but somebody that's going to be a little bit energetic and have a little bit of charisma and have some good meetings and entertaining and funny, and somebody that people like to be around, somebody that can teach in what I call a spirit of harmony, which of course I stole that from Napoleon Hill out of the great classic book Think and Grow Rich. So when you talk about salespeople and sales managers, you really want to, in my opinion, build your foundation, promote from within, take the guy that can do it all, and then have him teach others to clone himself into three other people. You might have to hire six people to find those three other people, to weed them out, just like anything. With sales and with salespeople, it's a numbers game. So that's my opinion on the difference between a good salesperson and how you should find and promote the sales manager. So when we're talking about the first element, planning and prospecting, the sales manager definitely has to have an involvement with the planning and prospecting process. Okay, friends. Well, I have no idea where the time went, but we are already out of time. I want to thank all of my good friends over at Blog Talk Radio for allowing me to reach out to you and bring you the Entrepreneur Observer. And I really do appreciate all the great followers of the show. So, until next time, practice the right principles, read the right business leadership and positive thinking books and publications, and just so you know, there's a couple other real good shows here on Blog Talk Radio. I listen to Dr. John O'Keefe, The Art of Abundance. I believe he's now on Wednesday mornings at around 10 a.m., probably, I believe he's in the same entrepreneur business category as the Entrepreneur Observer. And I also listen to Ron Morris, the American Entrepreneur. and he's on every day at 3 p.m. also on Saturdays from 9 to 1. You could find him here at Blog Talk Radio as well under the category Entrepreneur. You have been listening to the Entrepreneur Observer, and remember, you can email me at rhaderman@gmail.com. That's rhaderman@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Rich Hatterman saying so long from the Sunshine State.